Proverbs chapter 7, and we are back at the Wisdom Roundtable. Our content today is about PG-12, so kids, let mom and dad listen first. Today I am joined once again by Peyton Jones. Welcome, my friend. And we have a new guest in the studio bringing wisdom all the way from the nation of Wales. Barry Waters, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hello. Well, it's very much an honor to be here.
Barry is a good friend doing fantastic ministry out in Wales. We've been working together for many years now. And I have to admit, I'm not quite certain whether I invited Barry because he is wise or if he just fooled me with the accent.
Well, I think it's at least 80% accent.
Well, that works for me. Today we have a story to tell in Proverbs 7. It is a tale of warning, and it takes us to a turning point in a young man's life. The sort of decision you look back on, and no matter how many times you replay that uneasy feeling of woe that you had just before the decision, or the sudden impulse of desire that pushed you past it, you cannot reverse the damage or the stinking regret. Solomon wants to protect his son from one particular danger, so subtle and so deadly, it's like a funhouse with a trap door to hell. He begins, "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live." There is again that strong sense that these words are life and death, that they will protect you if you will keep them. And in verse 5, they will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. And here Solomon begins a story. So Barry, why don't you begin the story for us?
Yeah, so here Solomon is telling his son a story of a young man who he's seen walking down a street that Solomon knows will end in this young man's ruin. Solomon is looking out of his window down the street below through the crowds when he spots him. And he spots this young man and sees that this man has no sense. I think it's likely that Solomon recognizes a part of his younger self in this man. And when I think back to my younger days, I know I had very little sense. And it easily could have been me, this young man that is walking himself into ruin. And, you know, just by the grace of God, I didn't walk myself into ruin. Solomon likely made the same mistakes this young man did, and so is warning his son not to make this mistake too. Gosh, I wish I had listened when people had warned me about certain things. So if you're young and listening to this, and someone warned you not to do something, don't do it. And also, if you're an older person who knows someone young who's about to do something stupid, warn them, because I wish I had been warned once or twice.
In verse 10, we meet the woman who throws herself literally on this young man. Verse 10, "Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent." This woman here is intent on capturing this young man, or any young man, foolish enough to pass by her. She doesn't just hang out at home. She wanders out in the street, looking for someone to tempt. Now, it's important to remember, this lesson is from Solomon to his sons, so that's why he warns his sons about the wayward woman. But if Solomon was writing to daughters, we would see warnings for them about the temptations of wayward men. This sin goes both ways.
And then, verse 13, "She took hold of him and kissed him." Mayday, mayday, this is it. This is the last stop before the train heads to its destination. And the final destination is not what you're thinking about. Exit now. Disembark. She kissed him, and one kiss can make you stupid in a hurry. If you don't stop now, you are driving into an oil slick down a steep drop. This boy needs to get out. Take a cue from Joseph and run, boy, run. But he stays. Back in verse 13, "And with a brazen face, she said, 'Today I fulfilled my vows, and I have food from my fellowship offering at home.'" Now watch her words, "I fulfilled my vows," as in vows to God. This girl is a believer, fresh from temple. Beware the appearance of godliness. Christian, the temptation to adultery often comes from someone at church. Godliness is attractive, but godly hypocrisy is deadly. Don't trust the facade. And do not imagine that you can keep your vows to God and not your spouse. or think you can just enjoy the sin and repent when it's done. God is not mocked. You sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction.
On to verse 16 now, and it says, I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. Once you've gotten yourself to this point, it is going to be very difficult to walk away. We are all capable of succumbing to temptation, even the best of us. And she is making it really hard to walk away too. She says she has a house full of food, a comfortable place to sleep all night, and a night with a beautiful woman. This is what men really want. She knows it. She's not fighting fair. But that's just how temptation works. It doesn't fight fair. It attacks you where you are weakest. And two of the main things that a lot of people, especially myself, will be easily tempted with, and that is comfort and pleasure. Temptation is gonna come. And the only way to avoid succumbing to temptation is to keep yourself far from it. Don't go down that road of ruin.
But he does. Verse 21. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. All these animals think they're getting a treat. The ox led to grain, the deer to salt, the bird to seeds or fruit. In the same way, this young man is led away thinking he's going to have some fun, little knowing it will cost him his life. A grim warning. Sexual sin may provide pleasure for a season, but it will bring death. The death of trust, the death of relationships, the death of ministries, and even physical death can be a result.
And that image in verse 22 is jarring. A deer stepping into a noose until an arrow pierces its liver. And I pray that it will always jar me, because that deer is me or you. Then in verse 24, now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Notice that the warning is to guard the heart and to watch your path. Keep your path away from hers. Don't even start along that road. And in verse 26, many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Understand that adultery takes down the mighty ones, even godly leaders, men and women, destroyed. Jesus reminds us, if anyone thinks they stand, take heed lest you fall. Many are the victims, too many. And don't misunderstand the word victim here. They are guilty, they are responsible, and the guilt makes the regret all the worse. Now I know that we are talking right now to someone who is standing at that crossroad, at that point of decision. And I tell you, look down the road, read verse 27. Her house, or his house, is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. So if you are already down that path, there is redemption. The blood of Christ covers every sin. Call on Jesus, repent and be forgiven and saved for eternity. But know that in this life, the damage cannot be undone. So read Proverbs 7. Keep these words and keep your path far away from the adulterer. And a bit of wisdom for you as we close. Never trust the feeling of love without the sacrifice of love. Love is commitment. It is faithfulness. The feeling of love is beautiful, but without sacrifice, it is an empty shell. And we'll meet you back here next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.